Let's go to, actually we're not going to, we're going all over the place this morning. Are you ready to go all over the place this morning? All right, we're talking about prayer this morning, and when you have a topic like that, sometimes you need to grab across the whole of Scripture to get the angle of what's going to be presented, and God wants to share with us something about prayer, and part of it's going to start with a story that happened in Luke 10, and you may remember this story. There was a gathering of people in a house, and Jesus was there, and there were two women that were there. One was Mary and one was Martha. It wasn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. It was a different Mary. And there was Mary and Martha were there at this gathering where Jesus was, and Mary had a lot of things needed to get done. Have you ever felt like there's a lot of things that need to get done, right? And you have to get those things done, and they don't just happen by themselves. Don't you just wish that sometimes those things would happen by themselves? You know, the house would just clean itself up by itself. You know, the yard work would get taken care of. The taking care of the bills and stuff would just kind of take care of itself, and you wouldn't have to do it. But you and I know we have to do stuff, right? So we have to do things to get things done. And so Mary is hustling and bustling around the house getting things done because she knew things needed to be done. But Martha was just lying around on the job. She was just laying down at the feet of Jesus doing nothing. Well, at least that's, do I have the names wrong? Yeah. Are you sure? Okay. All right. So is it Mary doing nothing? All right, I'm glad I have good Bible students here this morning checking up on me. So it was Mary. I'll probably switch it again in a moment. If that's okay, just let it slide. We get the point, right? But thank you for that. Mary was lying around on the job doing nothing, and Martha was getting irritated about that. So Martha came to Jesus and said, look, there's all this work that needs to get done. She's not doing any of it. Tell her to help me. And then Jesus responded with something puzzling, and he said, well, she's chosen the better thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing things besides praying, but when it comes to priority, the thing that's most important is praying, is seeking the Lord is more important than the doing. But there's a challenge in that we know that it's also biblical to be doing things also, isn't it? We're called to serve, we're called to make disciples, we're called to share our faith, we're called to love on people, we're called to be responsible. So we are called to do things. So it wasn't that Martha was being unbiblical, she was doing stuff, but we are also called to seek the Lord. And we can, especially those of us who are doers, anybody doers? You spring to action. You don't like, some of us who are doers, we can't stand when people complain about their problems. You know the people who complain about their problems and they don't do anything about their problems? Okay? Those of you who are doers, that irritates us because we're like, well, just then do something about it. And there is some truth to that we need to do things about that. But us doers tend to crowd everything out of our lives but the doing, don't we? We have to be doing something because sitting around and doing nothing, although we know praying isn't doing nothing, but it feels like it to some of us doers because we think spending 45 minutes here praying, while I could be taking care of that and I could be doing this for that person, it feels like a waste of time to a doer. And that's why Martha responded the way that she did, because she thought that's not helpful what she's doing. But my question is, why do us doers feel like it's a waste of time to be praying? And I think that part of the reason that it feels like a waste of time is a struggle that all of us, doer or not, wrestle with. And that is whether or not prayer does anything. So we come to the table of praying, and we have this expectation that we're going to ask for something. And if I'm going to ask for it, if I believe in all of those things, then God's going to do something about it, right? That's what we tend to think a lot of the angle of prayer is. You ask for something, God does something. I mean, isn't that a part of prayer, right? That might not be the whole picture, but that's a part of prayer. You ask for something, and something happens. But most of us, if not all of us, have had times where we asked for something, and we got nothing. And we asked for something again, and nothing. and again, and we had people pray over us, and we went to some special thing where there was some amazing healer guy that was there, and we got prayer there, and we sent things out on the prayer chain, and we fasted, and we got our lives right, and we did all the different things, got all our ducks in a row, and said all our prayers, and nothing. And what happens on the other end of that is we start to ask ourselves some questions, because Jesus said, what does he say? If you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it might possibly happen if you do that. No, it says it will happen, but it didn't happen. And if we are dealing with that emotionally and mentally, we're trying to wrestle with why? Why isn't it happening? And then we end up, because not all of us are theologians and philosophical and we try to figure out all the answers, and that's part of the reason why I'm a preacher, I guess, is I like thinking about these things and thinking through my actions and my conclusions, and I think that's good to do, but a lot of people don't do that. They just have the emotion shows up of, that's disappointing, I don't know if this thing works. And then we do something without thinking of a plan necessarily, we just do something. And I think what happens to us when we pray is we experience that, the letdown, and we choose one of two options. The first option is, this doesn't work. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to admit that to anybody. And maybe I'm not even going to admit that to myself. But my actions are going to show that I don't believe this thing works. And you know how your actions show that? You don't pray. Or you don't pray much. Or you don't ask for much. You might just, some people say, well, I just pray throughout the day. 9 times out of 10, I don't believe you when you tell me that. Because that just means, I know I should pray, so I'm just, when I think of it, I'm going to pray. And I bet that if you were to put a timer on and time yourself every time you start praying throughout the day, I bet the amount of time you pray would probably be very small. Because we need to spend time devoted just to spending time praying. But nonetheless, we do that. We pray, pray for 10 minutes. That's it. Whatever the time frame you pray, we pray a short amount of time because we don't believe it. I mean, if you really believed that every time you asked for something, boom, it's going to happen. I mean, if you believe that if you said, God, all my bills are going to be paid by somebody else this month, boom, it was going to happen, would you not be praying? If you thought, if I have whatever health issue I have, that if I just prayed for 20 minutes today straight for that health issue to be taken care of, and it would you not spend that 20 minutes praying? Okay, if you believed that prayer had power to do, then you would not just say, well, I believe that prayer has power, and I believe that God answers prayer. You wouldn't just say it with your mouths. You would say it with your actions, and you would be praying frequently and often and passionately if you believed that. But some of us, we've had the encounter, we prayed, it didn't happen. And whether we thought it through or not as a plan, we ended up on the side of, this doesn't do anything. So I'm going to be more like Martha. I keep thinking which one of these ladies is doing that. I'm going to be more like Martha, and I'm just going to do stuff rather than spending time praying. Well, what's the other side of the coin, that reaction that we have to this whole asking and it's not happening? The other side, the other reaction that people have is, well, I know that prayer works. I know that something happens when I pray. And so I'm going to pray, and I believe in prayer, and I'm going to spend time. And these are the people who spend the time praying, and they spend 45 minutes, an hour, or maybe even hours praying, and they do it every day. But they don't expect much from it. They start to, have you ever met people that begin to just excuse God and justify God? Like, have you ever seen people say, well, we're going to pray for healing? And listen, I think that modern medicine is wonderful. It's great that we have it. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen a movie. Like, there was a time travel movie where someone went back in time to like, the 1700s, and one of them got in contact with something which could mean that they're deathly ill now. And then a doctor from the 1700s was going to treat them, and they thought, this is going to be bad. And one of the treatments was, like, they used to let out blood. and like, we just didn't know enough back then. Now we know more things, and so we can stop something. So I'm okay with modern medicine. I think all of us take modern medicine to some degree. However, it is not really much of a miracle if you went to a doctor, he took care of the medical issue, and now you're better. It's wonderful, and I'm sure God was involved in that, absolutely. But that's not, like, that wasn't the kind of miracles that were happening in Jesus' day, all right? It was, this was bad, there is no way a human can fix this, and then it went away. It was no longer a problem. And today, if you've ever heard people say that, well, you know, I prayed that God would heal me, and it didn't happen in a few days, so I went to the doctor. And again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you can't go to the doctor or shouldn't go to the doctor. But you prayed a few days, you didn't get your healing, so you went, got treatment from the doctor, now you're better, and then people say, bless the Lord, I'm so grateful that he healed me and I got my miracle. Not saying that language is wrong, I'm just saying that now I think when we seek the Lord, we just, that's what our plan is that the, God's going to work through the doctor, and then that's how it's going to happen. And we lower our expectations. And why do we do that? Because we don't like the letdowns. We don't like how it feels when we ask God to do something and it doesn't happen. And so in order to protect our emotions from that, we reduce what we expect from him. And let me help you understand something. This is every bit as powerless as this is. The person who's not praying at all because they gave up on it is just as powerlessness and empty as the person who is spending a lot of time praying, but they don't believe that there's any power to it, so we don't ask much. And I want you to know that there is power in prayer, that things happen when we pray, but have we seen that? I was saddened when I've asked at times questions of groups, have you experienced God answering a request you had? You asked for this and he directly took care of it. And the answers were no. And I think, and again, if we're honest with ourselves, we have numerous times where we pray and we ask for something and nothing happened outside of the manipulating the circumstances to imply that something happened. Am I making sense there? Okay, because I don't think God needs our help to defend him. I don't think God needs us to come to his aid and justify why God didn't do anything and all of those things. And while there are explanations to that, we sit at a problem here. How many of us truly believe that praying is powerful and we believe it with our actions? Not only do we spend the amount of time, but when we pray, we ask for big things, we have high expectations, and we believe for that. How many of us are in that place? And should we get to that place? Because I think that if there is something tangible that we can grab a hold of that could result in a lot of these things, we should pray. But why are we wrestling with this? I believe it's for two reasons. There are two issues or two truths about prayer that if we understand these, this will help us regain our faith in and regain the power of our prayer lives. The first truth is this. I should pray because prayer gets results. This is at minimum. Now, you might not have experienced this in your own life, but at minimum, the Bible claims this truth, that if I pray, I will get results. And you have the references on your outline. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, ask, and possibly, maybe, if all the stars in alignment, it will be given to you. Isn't that in your translation? No? No, actually, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open to you. Now, some of these statements are conditional. You'll have ifs and you'll have may. Some of them are conditional, but this one is clearly it will happen. Matthew 21, Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And this isn't just a ask for something that you know that I want to happen. This is ask whatever you wish and it will happen for you. So apparently if you pray, you will get what you ask for. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, how many of you would say that you would not like to be a part of that arrangement, that I get whatever I ask for. This is the claim that is supposed to happen when we pray. We get other things as well that are specifically named. We end up not forsaken. Psalm 9:10 says, "For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So we seek him and we are not forsaken. We do not lack. Psalm 34:10 says, "Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So we seek him. We have the good things that we should have. Psalm 34 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears." So in seeking him, there is deliverance from fear. There's general deliverance. Psalm 34:17, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." So praying gets these results. Strength. Luke 21:36, Jesus said, "But stay awake at all times praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place." Pray and I'm strong. This is the result of praying. Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," again, listen to the word, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." If you seek him, you will have perfect peace. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, "I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Doesn't that safety and that security sound like a wonderful thing? Wouldn't you like to have that? Guess what? Apparently you can have that if you just do what? Pray. If I pray, I will have these things. Matthew 26:41, Jesus says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." If I pray, I will have the ability to overcome temptation. Righteousness. Hosea 10:12 says, "It is the time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." We can be enabled to be more righteous if we pray. Effective evangelism. Colossians 4:3, "Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ." If we pray, we will be able to effectively move the kingdom of God. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him." His presence, we experience his presence when we pray. There's a lot of things on that list, isn't there? And the solution or the way to receive all of those things is by praying. That's the claim. Well, then how do we explain that when we do pray, and every one of you, if you're honest with yourselves, you have had those moments that you prayed and what you thought was going to happen, what you expected to happen, what you were truly asking for, and we can try to like wrangle the words and say, well, he kind of answered it when he... No, you know what you meant by what you asked for. And do you think God doesn't know what you meant by what you asked for? What does Jesus say? What father, when he asks for bread, gives him a serpent? Okay, and he says the Heavenly Father is not like that. So he knows what you're asking for, and if he gives you something different than what you're asking for, did God answer that? So how do we explain then these moments in which we pray and we're not seeing what we expect and we're not seeing power in the prayer? What is happening? Why aren't we seeing those things? Well, I think the second truth is what's going to help us understand why we see so little power at times, or maybe often, in our prayer lives. You see, I should pray because prayer gets results. However, there is a kind of prayer that gets results. There is a certain kind of praying that is the kind of praying that gets results. Am I praying that way? And what is this kind of praying? Well, the first is interactive prayer. What do I mean by that? Well, Acts 2:42 says that the disciples, the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were devoted to seeking him on a regular basis. Then James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." God relates to us almost like a mirror. He's saying that he will draw near to you when you're not seeking him, you know, when you're sleeping, when you're just driving and you're doing nothing. And it says if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So the amount of intensity that you have when you seek him, the amount of passion you have when you seek him, is the way he ends up responding to you. So if you're aloof, he's aloof. If you're not pursuing the relationship, he's not pursuing the relationship. Now, that's not entirely accurate on the portrayal there. He does seek us out in various ways, but the way that we're encountering him is impacted by the way I'm seeking him. And you might say, well, I don't know if that's really what that means. Well, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you passionately seek me, that's when you'll encounter me. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. And so if I am not encountering him, if there's not power in my prayer life, if something isn't happening, I need to ask myself, how much do I actually want to be doing this thing? I decided that I'm going to pray for 30 minutes here, and there's no power in this prayer. I need to ask myself, do I even want to be here? Do I really want to be doing this right now, or am I thinking of like Martha, and I'm thinking, oh, I got to get this taken care of, that, and that taken care of, and I'm worrying about this, and I'm thinking about that. Am I actually wanting to be here in his presence seeking him? And if that's not where I am, we just heard the verses. He relates to us the way we're relating to him. If there is powerlessness in our prayer lives, we need to ask ourselves how much we really want to seek him. And so we need to have interactive prayer. We also need to have frequent prayer. 1 Thessalonians, I had quoted this earlier, 5:17 says, pray for 15 minutes a day. Do you remember that verse? Doesn't it say that? Pray for 15? No. Pray for 3 hours a day, right? No. What does it say? Pray when you can get to it. Pray throughout the day. Pray without ceasing. Constantly pray. In fact, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Romans 12:12 says, be constant in prayer. Jesus, in Matthew 26:40, when he was trying to get the disciples to pray with him, he came back and they were asleep. Anybody ever prayed yourself to sleep before? Okay, they prayed themselves to sleep. And you know what Jesus said to them? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now, I want to ask yourself, when was the last time you spent an entire hour in prayer consecutively? I know some of you, it's awesome. Thank you very much. But, so when you guys need to learn about prayer, Marcy and Alma are the ones for you, right? Okay. But some of you, ask yourself, when was the last time you spent an entire hour in fully devoted prayer? And I want you to think about this. Jesus saw it. If he said, could you not watch for at least an hour? That means Jesus saw it as the minimum. Now, does that mean that we need to spend an hour of concentrated prayer every day? I'm not saying that. But I am saying what I see here, that he was saying, that's the floor. You can't even spend an hour. And so we see the picture as we need to be praying often to God. And the question is, are you? Are you spending enough? Because we might say, well, God's not answering my prayer, but did you handle it like this? Hey, Lord, please give me this, okay? Thank you. We walk away and do our own thing. Like, okay, Lord, I really, I need, and even sometimes when we're like deathly ill, all we got in us is, Lord, please heal me. Back on my phone, back to watching TV, back to reading a book, back to sleeping, because our requests aren't really constant. We're not constantly before him seeking him and spending the volume in prayer. And you might say, well, why do I have to spend so much time with him? I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know why it is this way. I'm just showing you this is the way that it is. That if you spend the volume in prayer, if you are interactive with the Lord, then there is power in my prayer life. But you might say, well, I interact with him. I want to be there. I do it often. I pray often. Still, nothing. Where's the power? Well, maybe there's another part that you're missing, and that is group prayer. Praying with other. You mean that I need to pray with other? Can't I just ask for God for something by myself and God give it to me? Yes, but for some reason, there is some kind of power when we come together as a group and pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, you know that verse? Pray, then I will. All right, and we know there's some blanks in there, but if we pray, then he will. If my people, and the picture there is not us just praying by ourselves. The picture there is we're gathering together as an assembly to pray, then I will. Matthew 18, 19, and 20, Jesus said, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you get together and pray, well, why can't he just answer my prayer? Why do I need to be in a group? I have no idea. All right? I don't have all the answers. I don't know why it is this way, but I'm telling you that there is power in coming together as a group. And if I'm not praying, if I'm not opening myself to others to pray and tell them, this is what I'm struggling with, these are my needs, this is what I've sinned in, this is my healing need and such, and I'm not opening myself up, might be a reason why there's a lacking in prayer. It's why James says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It's why he said in verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And this healing is not really physical, though it can contain that. This healing is if I confess to other people, other believers, and have them pray for me, there is a healing work that starts to happen. There's a transformation that starts to happen in me. I have a question for you. If all it took was for you to start asking other people to pray with you about something, and you got together with them and started praying with them about that, if that's all it took to get the power that you were so desperately to go after, why wouldn't you pray with a group? Why won't you pray with a group? And perhaps this is the reason why we don't see the power that we ought to see, because we don't actually pray the way the Lord wants us to pray. We don't pray interactively, frequently. We don't pray in groups. And you might say, well, I do those things. I interact with the Lord. I pray often and frequently, and I do get in group gatherings and I pray, and yet there's still, where is the power? Well, then maybe you're missing the caring prayer part. What in the world do I mean by that? Well, this one's going to take a little bit of a rabbit trail for a moment, but not really unintentionally. The Bible describes certain attributes of a person, that if a person has these attributes, then when they pray, things happen. Some of these attributes are passion, and we read the Jeremiah 29:13 statement, also Psalm 119 verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Those who are passionately seeking him, they are the ones that receive. Those who are worshiping him, Jesus said in John 9:31, if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. So if I am someone who worships, then I get answers to my prayer. Enjoyment, Psalm 37:4, we read this earlier, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So if I enjoy the presence of the Lord, I get answers. Humility, 2 Chronicles 7:14, humility and repentance there. That, again, that statement, if my people, and we have several statements in there. One of them is, if my people humble themselves, then I will hear. If my people turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal. And so if I am a humble person, if I'm a repentant person, he will hear me. Forgiveness. Matthew 5:44 says, pray for those who persecute you. The way I need to be praying is for forgiveness towards other people, and that gets me in the right posture before God. Obedience. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So if I obey him, then he does what I ask for. Selflessness. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So just asking for just what I want all the time is a problem. So if I'm selfless, then he answers my prayers. Faith. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. There's a certain kind of person that gets answers to their prayers. There are certain qualities to that person. We see that, and we understand the reality of that, but I think that sometimes we apply it incorrectly. Because I think that we think that, well, you know, I'm not getting what I'm asking for. Maybe I need to live a more righteous life. So I start to live a more righteous life, not to simply please Jesus, but for the sake of, so that he will start answering my prayers. I prayed and asked God to do something for me, and he didn't. And I think, well, maybe I'm not humble enough. So I start to pursue humility, not for the sake of just being humble, but so that I'm humble enough to get what I want Jesus to do for me. And any of those qualities there, passion, I just need to be more passionate. And you remember the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal and they were asking Baal to answer them and Baal wasn't sending fire down from heaven? You remember what they did? They started to yell louder and they started to dance and they started to do some other crazy things and they were getting passionate because they thought, if I get more passionate, I'll get what I want. And this list kind of makes us confused into thinking, yeah, if I just get all my ducks in a row, then he will give me what I want. There's a problem with that. Or seeing it like a checklist. You know, I have my checklist, and if I just check, 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 boom, everything's complete. Now, transaction. I can make the transaction, write the check, cash it in, get what I want. Here's the problem. These descriptions of the quality of the person who gets answers to their prayer, this does not mean that this person is doing those things to get to the answers of their prayer. What the scripture is revealing to us is if you are a person who truly wants Jesus, you will just because of that be humble. You will just because you want Jesus and you want what he wants, you will be obedient. You will be repentant. You will be those things. It's not that you like have to check those things off. You just become that by being truly a follower of Jesus. And if I am truly in communion with him, connected with him, if I am truly wanting everything that he wants, that kind of person is the kind of person when they ask, something happens. So if you're getting all your ducks in a row and it's not happening, you should ask yourself, why are you getting all your ducks in a row? Because if I truly get into this posture, then I begin to see the answers to my prayers. Well, you might say, well, I don't understand. I've done all of these things. I'm passionate, and I interact with him, and I talk with him. I do it often. I pray in groups, and I care. I truly care about Jesus and what he wants, and I care about that more than what I want. Why or where is the power of my prayer? Well, maybe you're missing the last element, and that is determined prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, speaking of praying, says, keep alert with all perseverance. If I'm going to ask and I'm going to get a response from my request, what reason do I have to persevere? What do I have to persevere through if I'm going to ask and I'm going to get it immediately? Unless I'm going to ask and it's not always going to come immediately, or it's not always going to come in the same package I expect it to come in. And maybe that's why I need to persevere. And so you mean that this whole power in prayer doesn't always mean immediate response? Well, why would I have to persevere otherwise? Or in Luke 18, Jesus told that story. Remember the story of the unrighteous judge and the widow who desperately wanted justice? And she went to the unrighteous judge and she asked for a just order delivered. And the judge said no, right? And what did she do? Gave up on it. No, she came back again and asked again, and the judge again said no. And she came time and time again, and he kept saying no until finally he thought, you know what? I'm not going to be rid of this person until I give her the answer she wants. So he gives her the answer she wants. And Jesus tells that story, and Luke says, right before Jesus tells the story, Luke explains this. Luke 18:1, he says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, if the way prayer works is it's transactional and immediate, I pray and I get for what I pray for now, what would I lose heart about? I mean, if you really had the Midas touch, if the way Word Faith Prosperity teachers teach it, that if all you had to do was ask, you just always did it, you know, oh, this bill, I don't have the money for it. Lord Jesus, pay the bill. Boom, it's paid. The car broke down. Lord, make the car run. Boom, it runs. You know, I feel some kind of ache and pain. I stub my toe and that hurts. Jesus, take away the pain. Boom, it's gone. If that happened, why would you ever lose heart? You're only going to lose heart if the way prayer actually works is sometimes there's waiting. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. Matthew 26:40, again, Jesus' statement to them, could you not wait with me 1 hour? Now that hour could mean literally 60 minutes, or it could be that Jesus is implying here, and I think that he is, that when you are asking for something, don't expect it to come immediately. Sometimes there's an interval of time that you're praying before something happens, and you should just ask for it and stop praying, right? Is that what he said with the whole comment in the garden? Just ask for it once and be done with. And I've heard some people say that. Well, I asked once, it's all I need to do. If I ask again, it's like I don't have faith. Is that really what Jesus was teaching? Jesus said, you come and ask, and if it didn't happen, guess what? You come and ask again. And you come and ask, and you keep asking for a whole hour, Jesus said. You just keep asking. Why would he say that if the way prayer works is you get your results now? I know we're Americans. I know we have all kinds of technology. I know we have fast food. And I know that if anything takes 3 minutes, we're pulling our hair out. Have you ever made a phone call and on the other side it said, you might be on wait for 5 minutes? And your response was, 5 minutes? How am I going to wait for 5 minutes? That's the way we are today. Everything's supposed to be fast. But Jesus isn't painting that picture with prayer. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. My question is, there's a healing you've asked for. You asked for it. You prayed. You fasted for it. Maybe a provision. Maybe some deliverance from something. Maybe something to happen in your life spiritually. You asked for it. You fasted for it. You maybe spent some time fasting for it. And you spent years praying for it. You came down to these altars and other altars, and you had people anoint you with oil and pray over you, and you did all the different things, and you prayed. At some point, you stopped praying for it. And my question for you, is it possible that you stopped too soon? Are you someone who decides, I'm going to keep asking? Well, but don't you understand? You prayed for 25 years. Why would you think you're still going to get that thing? Doesn't matter. I'm going to keep asking him until he gives it to me. I wonder how many of us are actually determined people of prayer. We might still do our 30 minutes a day or whatever, but my question for you is, what request did you have that you laid out before God in the various forms that you did, and you don't ask for it anymore? You don't have the answer to it, but you don't ask for it anymore because you gave up, because you weren't waiting for the Lord. And I wonder if that might not be the reason why we don't have power in our prayer life. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? You see, I think that those two reactions that I described in the beginning, the one is, this praying thing doesn't do anything, so I'm not going to spend time in that, or I'm not going to spend much time in that, because I need to be doing. There's a partial truth in that. I've known some Christians that have said, well, I'm just going to keep praying to get saved, and I'm never going to try to evangelize them. I don't think that God is what God means by the principles he laid out for us, because he wouldn't have told us otherwise to go out and share our faith with people. There's times that we need provisions, and there's times we need to work for those provisions. So I think some people say, oh, I'm just going to not work, sit back, and pray for the money to roll in. I don't think that that's right. I think there is a truth to that we need to be doers. I mean, doesn't James say that? Be doers of the word. He doesn't say just lay around and do nothing and just pray and wait for it to come. Be doers of the word. So there's a partial truth to that. But the flaw to that is that you think that prayer doesn't do anything. And your actions tell us, tell the Lord, tells you whether or not you think prayer does something. And we need to get our faith back. We need to get our faith back in it. And some of you, that's the side of the coin that you're on. Others of you, you believe in it and you pray often. And you can start praying and leading us in whatever song you feel led. But you lowered the bar. You expect some from God, but not much. You don't want to be let down. You don't want to be discouraged. There's various elements here that you're missing in your life. You don't want to pray with other people about it because you don't want people to know about your problems. You don't want them to think you're a complainer. You don't want them to think you're weak. Guess what? They know you're weak. I'd rather admit that I'm weak when I'm weak than just try to pretend like I'm weak and never get the help that I need. It is when we open ourselves up to other people. Doesn't James say that? Confess to others, and then you will be healed. It's when we open ourselves to the group and pray, that's when something happens. Maybe you've given up. You don't pray for that anymore because you've done it and you've done it and you're just tired of asking for it and it not happening. What would happen if we keep persisting in praying? And some of us over here, we've got the volume. but we don't have the power. And some of it is because there's truth to this side also. Because we aren't actually, even if we have our ducks in a row, we're not actually going to get everything we always want. Because some of us know that truthfully, we don't need to have a mansion. Truthfully, we don't even need to have a car, right? Truthfully, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. So we don't actually need all of our problems to go away, right? We know that. And we know that there's more to prayer than just getting what we want, right? There is the transformation that happens within me and who I am when I encounter God. That's a power in praying. There is the connection and the intimacy that I have with the Lord. That is a power in praying. And sometimes when we get so caught up in seeking His hand and seeking a result that we don't see the powerful things that are happening in our lives despite the requests not coming to fruition. So there is some truth to this side, but there's a lie in it also. And the lie is that you should never expect big things from God. It's not true. You should always come, but that hurts when it doesn't happen. Doesn't matter. Again, I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm not saying I know why this is the way that it is. I'm just saying this is the way Jesus tells us to approach prayer, to keep asking and asking big and asking for huge things. I mean, why would he say, can you imagine saying, Lord, take up this mountain and be cast? Could you imagine going out to Mount Washington today and say, Lord, take up Mount Washington and cast it to the sea? Could you imagine that happening? Could you imagine having that expectation? Now, you better make sure those people know to evacuate first if you're going to do that. But Jesus wasn't telling us to, Lord, just make sure you can heal me of a cold. Lord, just make sure that I have enough to get by. No, Jesus said, believe for the mountain. And he wasn't just saying believe for some figurative mountain. He was saying believe for big things. Do you have faith? And you know what a puzzling thing is? You know what Jesus said after he gave that parable of the unrighteous judge and the woman who kept asking? When he said you ought to, he was wanting to teach them to pray and not lose heart, not give up. You know what he said when he was done with that? He said, when the Son of Man comes back to earth, will he find any faith? You know how he'll know he'll find faith? If he finds people that are still praying, praying often, praying passionately, praying in groups, interacting with him, and not giving up, and still asking for the things they don't have, and still asking, that's when he'll know he sees faith. And I'm telling you, if you have faith like that, if you keep pursuing him like that, you might not get the mountain that's moved. You might not get every specific thing you stated, but there will be power that happens in that. Do you want that today? Do you need that prayer, that faith revived in your life this morning? As they lead us, then come and seek him and say, Lord, I need this. I need to believe again. Seek him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would, heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You didn't come forward, and that's for those of you that did not. Maybe you're in a good place with that, and you're set, and that's wonderful. Maybe there's someone still seated in your seat, seated in a pew. Heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would say, I really need that faith in me. I pray, spend time in that, and I ask for some things, but I don't know if there's really power in my prayer life, and I need that, whether for the first time or to regain that power in my prayer life. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Good. Anybody else? Lift your hand and say, I'd like for you to pray for me for that power in my prayer life. Anybody else? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we ask for this one that you would, and for others that maybe didn't raise their hands, and for those that came down to this altar, we ask that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. When those disciples were filled with the power of your Holy Spirit, they were different. They were bold, and things began to happen, and they began to act and accomplish things for you, and great things took place because the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Even you, Lord, when you stood up in the temple, you read the scroll from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do, and you name a list of things. And so we ask for that power to be upon us. And we ask that you would help us to be willing to do whatever you ask us to do to be in that. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you to join me to keep pushing in that direction. So our core value or principle that we're highlighting there this morning is seek the Lord. We want to seek the work of the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit constantly. And there are some ways that we already do that. One is that on Sunday mornings, and we try to start at 9:15, sometimes we're a little late, but Sunday mornings, some of us gather in that room on my right, your left, and we pray that God would move in power in this service. You can join us anytime that you would like. And even if the door is closed, we close it sometimes just to not, you know, get disrupted by the noise. Just open the door and come in and join us. Even if you're running late, you know, you're here at 9:35, come in and join us. Because I'm wondering if more people are back there praying, what kind of outpouring might happen in here if that was happening? And you might say, well, doesn't God answer one person's prayer? Yes, he does. But we already seen that there's something that happens when a group begins to pray. And so I encourage you, join us and be a part of that. Some of you might say, well, I came one Sunday and did that and nothing happened. Maybe I didn't explain myself well enough then today if that was your reaction. Because persistence in prayer isn't coming to one prayer meeting and thinking that that's it. It's not coming to one group gathering. We had a couple of special prayer sessions. I almost said sprayer sessions. Special prayer sessions on Friday afternoons. We had a couple of those during the fall. I plan on doing more of those. And you might say, well, why just Friday afternoons? I work. Well, we got to start somewhere, okay? And we'll probably get more of those things throughout 2022. I want to pepper throughout the life of the church prayer meetings and prayer gatherings where we're getting together and praying. Be a part of those things. Because what if just one more person came and that was the tipping point? Worship nights, when we have those worship nights, we had a couple of those in the fall leading into the winter. Come, be a part of that. Seek the Lord with us as a group. Prayer team, Joni right over here at the piano, wave at us. If you would like to be on the prayer team, she sends out a group text of various prayer needs that are inside of the Bethel family and outside of the Bethel family. And as a group, we may not be coming together for that instance, but we're praying as a group for those things. Be a part of that. The altar team that comes up here and prays for people. Did you know that you don't need to be in a serious condition to come down and be prayed for by someone at this altar? It could be something small. Just come down and seek them. Let them anoint you and pray over you. It's biblical. We saw it in James. Something can happen if we start utilizing that more. What if your simple problem could have been resolved today if you let someone pray over you? Now, I'm not going to say that every time someone walks away from this place, they got their miracle. I'm just saying, what if? And so Naaman, if you remember Naaman, came, he was a leper from some other far-off country, and he came and he heard about Elijah, and he came and he was asking for healing for his leprosy. And Elijah sent a message to him from upstairs. Elijah didn't even come to the door. He just sent a servant down and said, just tell him, go dip in the river 7 times and he'll be healed. You know what Naaman said? No, I don't want it. Can you believe that? A serious medical condition, and you say, no, I don't want to jump through that hoop to get it. But we do that all the time. Praying with groups, not jumping through that hoop. Praying frequently, spending an hour in prayer, not jumping through that hoop. Persisting for years, asking for the same thing over and over again, not jumping through that hoop. How many hoops do we say, God, I'm not jumping through that hoop, and then we wonder where the power is in our praying? I plead with you, be a part of these things and more things to come. Also, continue to work on your own prayer life. And here's what I'm going to do. So we're going to do the Bible thing together. And you can be seated if you want. And then I'm almost done. I'm not going to hold you forever. Just a moment. I want us to journey together in 2022 and being better at being a person of prayer. Do you want to do that? Okay. Now, you might, you know, be fine or whatever, or maybe you have your own plans on how to do that this year. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Maybe you would like to be a part of a group working together towards that goal. And if you would, I'm going to invite you to join me two ways in that. One will be through a closed Facebook group. So if you don't use Facebook, if you don't check it, you have an account but you never are on there, then don't do it this way because you won't interact with it. But if you are on there and you use it, then let me know, text me and say, I'd like to be a part of the Facebook prayer group. And what we're going to do is those people, we want to get on there together and say, hey, I was praying and this is what happened for me today. Or, hey, I've been praying and this is what's been taking place. I encourage you to keep persisting in that. And we want to be a support system for each other. So if you want to be a part of that, then text me and say, I'd like to be a part of that Facebook group. Or maybe you're like, I'm not on Facebook. I'm never going to be on Facebook. Or I have an account, but I never use it. Maybe you have an email account. I want to start a group email going where we're emailing with each other and sharing with the group. Same like Facebook, but we're doing it through email. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, say, hey, the email thing, I'd like to try that one. And you might say, well, I don't do email, don't do Facebook. Well, then we're not going to help you with anything. I'm just kidding. We might try to find some other way. Just let me know if you don't use those. If you don't use those, though, maybe you need to get a little closer to the 21st century, at least the email maybe. But please let me know you'd like to be a part of that. Because what we're going to do is I have a plan on how we can work towards when you go to lift weights and you want to start gaining strength, the first thing you do is you grab a 100-pound barbell and you start lifting it, right? No, you start with the 5-pounder because you know you can't handle the 100-pounder. Same with prayer. Don't just decide, I'm going to pray for 3 hours every day to start. You're probably not going to do it. Just start small. And we're going to work towards that this coming year, so I hope that you will decide to be a part of that. Next week, do you ever feel like you don't have enough joy? Do you ever feel like we're heading into Christmas season and 'tis the season for joy? Carol has on her sweater big red letters, joy there. We sang that joy unspeakable earlier today. How do I have joy not only in the Christmas season but year-round? That's what we're going to answer the question to next week, so I hope you'll be here for that. Thank you for being here this morning. May God richly bless you. See you then.